Hello, everybody. This is 90s Court, and I'm Lisa Monahan, your not Lady of the Night. That's not the word I'm trying to say.
That's not a spooky thing.
That's just obscene. I'm just Lisa Monahan. You're spooky.
Like your sex worker.
You're Elvira of the. Oh shit! Damn it! I'm spooky.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Andy. I'm a ghost.
He's a ghost.
I'm your co-ghost of the show.
Here's the thing.
Ghost.
The co-ghost. Things I would not be good at. Improv. Turns out.
I have to think of a spooky word, and I just couldn't do it. I'm like, what? Like women?
Dracula? I'm a werewolf? Shit.
Just like an old ragtimey term for sex workers. It's just like,
I'm
hey,
a lady of the night.
Lady of the night.
Listen, this is the 90s Court first Halloween show. I blew it, but we're having a good time so far. We're gonna give it our best shot.
We were just like moderately spooky last week, but the spook factor this week is just crazy, out of control.
It's so high. I mean, honestly, like I will say this in preparation for this week's episode, I ended up generating a nightmare for myself last night. So you're welcome. I had a nightmare.
We are sustaining PTSD just for your entertainment. Thanks, everybody.
It was one of those like, wake up, you're breathing super hard, and like, don't go back to sleep, don't go back to sleep.
And then you did.
And then I went back to sleep, but I didn't dream about this anymore.
So how was your week other than horrifying nightmares caused by this show?
I don't even fucking remember. It was a week. I'm alive. I've got delicious crockpot dinner in the hey. Crockpot, and I don't know. I want to go to bed already, and it's 3 o'clock.
I just it's Sunday, so I'm lazy as all get out. But... yeah, I just, in preparation for the show, I was like, I eating two meals a day is such a chore. Like, so I just, like, ran and grabbed, I was like, what, I got some hot dogs, just microwaved hot dogs, so just rocking the real world right now with some.
You gotta learn to be, like, a professional snacker, like me. If it's got a crunch, I'm on it. I don't even care what time of day it is, no matter what.
I love that you flexed in response, like flexing was like the indicator of snacking.
Under here, under this sweet, sweet hoodie of mine is extra flabby arm to show you how much I'm serious about
how
snacking.
This is how serious I am about that. Look at my flex of my right arm. So, but no, it's been a good week. It was a crazy week at work. I say that every week, because it just is every week. I did get some promotion stuff at work, which is cool. I like it when they pay me
Woo-hoo.
More money for things. I would like to say that more than any.
Are you dead?
Lisa.
What?
I can't move.
Is the T-Rex from Jurassic Park in your house now?
No. Fitiskeel has a fucking gun.
Oh. He's upping the ante for some reason.
I don't know. Fitiskeel, I have been nothing but kind to you. I'm clearly a terrible negotiator. It's Fitiskeel, you gotta put the gun down, my man.
So.
Oh no, he's pulling the trigger! Oh, it had a whammy sign that came out of it. Fitiskeel,
okay, I thought we were going
to
escalate this to where like next week it was like, oh, Fitiskeel's here and he has a severed head. It's and just, like, oh, and then the following week, like, he's on the run from the FBI. Like,
yeah, 90s Court just turns into the tale of Fitiskeel, of Fitiskeel running from the police and Andy's dead.
I get it.
Yeah, so Fitiskeel showed up. Yeah, that goofy rascal. Last week he had a costume. This week he had a gun. But it was just one of those fun toy guns, so.
Yeah.
So that being said, I do have a fun court case here to. Oh, this isn't fun at all. Fitiskeel.
Well, I would hope not. It's Halloween.
Yeah, this is a bigger terror than the frickin' gun that this horrifying 3-foot tall wrinkled man just handed me. It looks like we got a court case here, and as expected, it is once again spooky, but this time like nightmare-inducing as a child spooky. Still inducing of nightmares for Lisa.
Yeah, apparently.
We have, wow, in opposite spectrums of the 90s, one right off the bat and one late 90s into the 90s. We have the original It versus
Ooh.
Blair Witch Project.
I mean, Can you imagine how much changed from the time that it was released to the Blair Witch Project? I mean, that whole decade was like an incredible jump in the cinematography. And
well, the irony, wow, of course, of this is that because of the just nature of Blair Witch Project, it went down severely between and this.
Yeah, that's true. But even the editing, though, that was...
Yeah, it was clutch. It was... Yeah. Okay, anyway, so...
But we'll talk about all those things. We'll talk about those things.
Yeah, so I think you went first last week. So
by all means.
Guess what? It's my turn to talk to you all about the Blair Witch Project. Now, here's the thing. Blair Witch is one of those things that... I think it even got a Razzie, which is, like, one of those stupid awards that, like, they're, like one of the dumbest movies or whatever. And I'm, like... First off, you're wrong. This movie is freaking amazing. Second off, what people don't understand is that this was one of those movies that if you saw it the opening couple weeks, which I did as a child because my brother, you know, kind of pulled me along to go to it with him and his friends, it was a whole new concept of film that had really never been done before. I mean, sure, maybe it had been, but not in this to this degree. Was just literally like, we're banking for the terror factor almost exclusively on the fact that you don't know that this isn't real. And that, for me, was the reason that this gave me, and I'm like I said, I'm like 14 at this point. This gave me nightmares. And I shouldn't say, it didn't give me nightmares. I'm sorry. I didn't sleep at all. That's a better description. The night after I watched it, I did not sleep because I was so terrified, which, in retrospect, this movie took place in Maryland. I have no idea why I would be so terrified of something in a forest in Maryland.
But you don't think about its location. You're just like, this shit's going to get me no matter where I am.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And that was just the thing. It was like, we left that movie not having any idea if what we just, like, watched really happened or not. Like, we all of us were kind of like, oh, it's just a movie or whatever, but it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, dude, like, this movie was so well made and made in a way that, like, no one was used to. And also the fact that this movie was sold and pitched in a way that was intentionally to lead people to believe that this had actually happened. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to some more fun IMDb facts later, but first I want to just talk about the movie in general. So the movie itself, you kind of start out, it's kind of like, it's this girl, Heather, and her two friends. She's kind of the main driving force of it, Heather, and she's kind of the main character. And then the two other characters, whose names I totally remember, Mike and Josh are the two other guys. And they're kind of like along for the ride. It's kind of Heather's whole deal. So the first part of it, it's kind of like, you know, they keep showing like cutaways to... them talking about the thing and about how them just kind of like dicking around like at the hotel, like drinking beer and stuff like that and just hanging out and like giving each other shit. You know, they swear a ton. I think the word fuck was used 154 times in this film. In the movie. And then the beginning, it's because it's supposed to be like, hey, this is just a documentary we're making. And here's the thing. If you remember, at least for me, because of course I was like a little, like, I was very excited about just making entertainment in general, like my entire life, I've loved making entertainment, was my friends and I and stuff would make home movies like this all the time. Like, they'd be comedies and stuff like that. I don't think we ever made like some friends of ours made like a fake documentary, like on something like that was supposed to be like this super like, I don't know. That's not important.
No, it is important, and I want that footage.
It was, okay, so we were doing a show in high school, a play in high school, and we intentionally made this thing that was, like, kind of like the behind-the-scenes, like, behind-the-music type deal of, like, all of the different actors and, like, what they did, like, to prep for the show and everything like that and dramas and things like that that happened.
So it was so dumb.
But here's the thing is, because of that, like, videos like this were totally normal. Like, a video like Blair Witch was like, oh, this is like the home videos that we make or whatever. Maybe even a little bit worse, you know, like, because it was a little bit grainier quality. So the whole movie shot through like 16 millimeter camera or whatever it is, you know, just the basic video camera. And it's kind of like, and it's very believable because they cut like all of a sudden it'll be like it just ends and then it's there in another scene, like ends and there's no transition. Yeah. It's just very clearly unedited footage. And so they're going around at the beginning and talking, kind of interviewing people in the town around the forest, like asking them about the Blair Witch and stuff, and all like a bunch of the people who play the townspeople are great too, because they're like some of them will just be like, nah, never heard of it. Nah, there is some weird stuff that happens in the woods, but I never heard no Blair Witch. But most of them, it's like they're like yeah, I heard of it. Like and it'll be like, or a mom like being like, oh yeah, just like, you know, you'll never believe. Like she'll be telling some stories or something like that. But then like some of them have like a ton of information on it about actual historical things that have happened. And you find out I found out later on, like I was when I was looking through these IMDb things, evidently the actors, so like Heather, Josh, and Michael, the people who were interviewing these people, they didn't know. A, they thought that the Blair Witch was a real thing, like the directors had led them to believe this is a real myth. Mm-hmm. And B, they didn't know that the people they were interviewing were actors. So they thought all of these people giving these responses were like totally candid responses. So they're walking around with these cameras doing this thing. They know that the movie's going to be fake in the end, like there's going to be fake action and stuff, but they don't know that generally speaking, all of the backstory and everything like that is fake. And so they thought they were interviewing people and people really had meaningful information. So all their reactions to all this stuff is totally real. They do find, I guess there's one person who had been out in the woods and got like gone crazy or something like that. And they're like, oh yeah, she lives out at the trailer, out in the trailer park. So they go and interview her. And along this time, there's a few different pieces of lore about the Blair Witch and what happens to people out there in the forest that end up coming back full circle later on in the movie, too. Like, so a lot of things that they just subtly mention that if you weren't paying attention early on, like, I didn't realize it until, a second viewing or somebody mentioning it to me later on that they said, I won't give spoilers. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
So, let's see. So, eventually what they do is they park the car on the side of the road, this old country road near the forest. They're going through, and it's at first it's like they're going to these different, like, hot points that are, like, have, like, mythos behind them. Like, this place called Coffin Rock, where she's, like, reading this story about some things that happened to a bunch of people that had died there and were found at this Coffin Rock or whatever.
Okay.
They are wandering through the forest, and the whole time everybody's kind of heated and upset at Heather because this was all her idea, and they think where they're lost and she's not getting them right according to the map. Mm-hmm. And I remember at one point they finally found very early on, they walk up and there's like a little, almost looks like a bird nest in a tree that has like these rocks in them, like a bunch of these like thin rocks. And then they look over and there's like seven piles of rocks, like perfectly piled rocks in the forest. And the reason that's memorable is because earlier on they had discussed the fact that there were like these seven girls or kids that were killed in there by the Blair Witch. So it's just kind of interesting and symbolic because all these things that keep happening then come back full circle, because then later on, like a day later or whatever, they're camping and they wake up and come out of their tent in the morning after there'd been like a ton of noise, and there's three piles of rocks outside of their tent.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
No thanks.
That's the thing is this whole movie is just like a 100% a build up the entire time. It's just one of those things where it's so eerie, and they're having totally 100% real conversations the entire time, like amongst the characters, the actors that are doing it, because again, the actors that are doing this film don't know anything that's going to happen in the movie. Like they don't know any. All that they were told was, "Hey, you're going to be going and exploring this thing. There's going to be stuff that happens." They tell them, "Yeah, there's going to be some things that happen," but that's the only thing that the actors actually know, is that there's going to be some things that happen, and so they don't know what that's going to be. And especially they're out in the middle of the woods and believe that this is a real myth that happened. And so the acting of the actors is phenomenal because it's 100% authentic. Because when they are scared and terrified, it's because they're actually scared and terrified. Like there's one scene where because it seems like they're wandering through the days. It's pretty much, hey, the entire day is them talking shit to each other, and then at the end of the day being like, well, we're still lost. Like, that's pretty much what happens every day.
Yeah.
And then night times when stuff goes down, like, there's sounds all around the forest, and one of the nights, all of a sudden, things go really, things kind of escalate every single time. So they're lying in their tent or whatever, and they're so terrified, and then all of a sudden, like, something starts, like, pushing in on their tent, like it's collapsing on them. And all three of them are like, nope, and just immediately take off. Like, because, and again, this is all shot through 16mm cameras or whatever, so they're just running through the forest, and it's, like, bobbing up and down.
Bouncing, yeah.
Yeah, and they were just running and running and running, and evidently that scene was that one of the directors or whatever during the night came up and did that to their tent, and they had no idea that was, you know, they obviously had no idea that was going to happen, so.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's a nice little nugget.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, all of them were 100% in the dark about this, and so they were running. And evidently, one of the biggest things that was supposed to be in the movie that didn't end up being in it was while they're running in that scene, there's a part where there is a white, like a woman, like a shaded woman who doesn't have like a face or whatever, in a white dress, off in the forest while they're running. And Heather yells, "What the fuck is that?" And you hear it in the movie, but you don't see anything.
Oh,
evidently, one of the people was supposed to like turn and look at it, but nobody ever did. So it was never shot in the movie. Like, they actually included it. It was supposed to be the Blair Witch was actually supposed to be shown in the movie, and they just botched it and didn't put that in there. So it's kind of one of these things where it's a combination of like they're hungry. They're tired, like they're not sleeping hardly at all at night. They're getting crazy and like, you know, turning on each other like over and over again as days go on. And again, it's the map, like I said. So the way that the movie was shot was, as I mentioned, they were given instructions like on, they had a map and you're like, okay, you're supposed to go here on this day. Then the next day you're supposed to go here. And so they're following the map, this map that the directors gave them or whatever. And again, this is cool for me to talk about the fact that, like, the way that we perceive it is almost as terrifying as it probably was for the actors, you know? And they're following this map around, and they're kind of, you know, and there was one day where they walked for 15 hours. They mentioned it in the movie.
They walked for 15
hours. 15 hours. They got up at, like, this, the moment light broke. It was the day after that one where they ran away from the tent. They immediately started walking. Like, they were like, we're just gonna walk one direction and just go that way the whole day. They walked 15 hours, and then all of a sudden at the end they're like, that's the same log, that's this. And she's like, no, it's not, it can't be. And then like she comes up and she's like, yep. And evidently the actors were as frustrated as the character was. Because they were like, we just walked for 15 fucking hours in a circle. I cannot believe. Yeah, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So
I didn't realize I didn't realize any of this about the movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't know this either. Nightmare. But, like, as I watched it, I was like, this movie's so good. And so I dug into it and got more information. And so that's the night, I think, when they went to bed. And Josh, who was... Josh, one of the three characters, all of a sudden they woke up and it was like, oh, it was actually an uneventful night for once. And then they woke up and Heather's to Mike. She's like, where's Josh? And he's gone. So they spend all day looking for him, can't find him. The next day they go to bed and then they wake up and they find a bundle of sticks tied together directly in front of the tent. She opens the bundle and finds a ripped piece of Josh's flannel. And inside of it, there is blood, teeth, and hair.
He's okay. Some light dental work in the woods. He's okay.
He just like wanted to leave him a gift. So, so then here comes the most iconic scene that most people know of, which is the "I'm sorry, goodbye" video from Heather, which is with the iconic "I'm so scared right now," the one that everybody likes to make fun of.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that it was a really intense moment. So. I also read that evidently it was not supposed to be super close up on her face. It was supposed to be like zoomed out, like you could see her whole profile. But instead,
it was so perfect.
Weird. Yeah, it ended up being perfect on accident.
Yeah.
So the last portion of the movie, then, it's kind of like right after they do that filming, they hear Josh screaming in the distance. They're running after, and they find this house. They kind of are like looking all over for Josh, and they finally hear screaming from the basement. And Mike's like, "Josh, a cone for you." And Heather's like, "No, Mike, stop, stop." Because they're like, they don't know. They think this is a trick.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, Heather doesn't hear anything, and there's nothing, no sound. And Heather walks slowly down into the basement, like shivering, and is like, "Mike?" And she walks down, steps down to the final step, and just sees Mike standing facing away from her in the corner of the room.
That's never good.
And then suddenly you just it goes, poof, something like hits Heather in the back, and she just falls to the ground, and that's the end of the movie.
I love it. I love it.
And here's the thing, is that what I mentioned earlier that I couldn't tell you was that standing in the corner of the, making them not look, standing in the corner, that was part of the thing one of the people they'd interviewed beforehand said. They're like, yeah, they said they always had him stand in the corner and look away so that way they wouldn't see him when they killed him or whatever. So that was kind of a cool callback too at the end there. But I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
it's just
that's
like
a good one.
Throughout the whole movie, there's like just cool, like different little things where they have like little stick men that show up, the piles of rocks and everything like that. It's one of these things where it's, like I said, it's pure suspense almost exclusively. And again, I think I can't, like, I watched it and this entire time watched it with a movie appreciation of just like, man, they did such a cool job of this movie. And remembering, like I said, coming home that night and literally not being able to sleep. I don't know why. Like, I don't know what it was. I think it was the fact that it was such a horrifying thing to think, like, did I just watch a bunch of people just get killed in a movie? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, when you think, yeah, if you don't know if it's, yeah, if you don't know, yeah, that would be kind of super unnerving.
So, again, there's nothing funny about this, so I don't have any, there was no jokes this episode, which is kind of a bummer after last week, which was full, chock full of jokes, but this movie was amazing, and here's some fun stats. This movie's was in the Guinness Book of World Records for top box office ratio for a mainstream feature film. The film cost $60,000 to make and brought in $248 million. For a ratio of $1 spent for every $10,931 made.
That's a pretty good profit margin. I'm going to
so
go
like,
ahead
you
and
just drop a
there.
Dollar and somebody's like, here's almost $11,000. even that, the way, how frugal these guys were. So they finished the making of the movie and immediately went back to Circuit City and returned one of the cameras that they bought for making the movie.
We're not going to be able to afford this movie's not going to make it. Oh, it made $11,000 per $1. Okay, maybe we could have kept it.
Yeah, I know, especially because they could have like Amazoned that shit for some, like, or not Amazon, but like eBayed that thing for so much, you know. So again, like I said, before the film was released, when they posted, and again, the internet hardly existed at this point. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot there in 1999, as far as it was around, but like it wasn't like as prominent as it is now. But all of the promos for it basically had the three actors listed as missing, presumed dead, on their IMDb page.
Yes.
Heather Donahue, the main actor, main girl's mother, received sympathy cards from people who believed that her daughter was actually dead.
Oh, wow. That's
sweet. It's not great. Yeah, and then like I mentioned multiple times about the fact that the entire times the producers claimed that it was real footage to everyone, to basically anybody who was like looking into it. Anybody would ask, they would never say, oh, this is a joke, by the way. Like, there was just nobody knew that. Like, everybody presumed it, but like nobody ever said that. Or at very least said that it's a reenactment of something that actually happened. Like, that was the most they would soften it. And let's see. So I think, like I said, the thing that was coolest to me was the fact that, like, watching it and then, like, finding out afterwards that, like, the actors, the only thing they knew was they're shooting a movie, and there's going to be some elements in it that are going to make it more entertaining, basically. Like, there's going to be stuff that happens while you're in the forest. And that's really all that they knew. Other than that, everything else was 100% them reacting to things that are happening to them. So
I mean, that's like inadvertent method acting.
Exactly, so, exactly. Yeah. So it was just like all the stuff was so genuine and so cool. And so, like I said, it's one of those things that, like, if you come at it from the approach of, like, oh, this is some dumb, scary movie, it's not that scary, like, fine, you'll get exactly what you want. It's kind of one of those things where, depending on what attitude you bring to it, you can really enjoy it. But I would encourage anybody, if you want to give a rewatch to this, especially because, like, the coolest thing about this is this stands the test of time from filmography forever, because you'll never be like, oh, this is poor camera. Like, of course it's poor camera. It's supposed to be. Like, that's the thing, you know, versus, like, you see a movie that's supposed to be produced well in 95, and now you're watching it in 2019, and you're like, you know, kind of grainy, not as good. So
you can just tell. Yeah.
Yeah. So
interesting.
So anyways, that's my whole court case, and that was a lot of words. So I will turn it over to Lisa.
Well, I will say before we go on to it, Blair Witch Project has taught me don't go in the woods. Only have internet friends. Stay inside the house. And never go camping. Like, I tried it once. It was the worst thing I've ever done. And, like, just don't
camp. The camping thing isn't because of Blair Witch, though. I just think people who camp are just insane. I don't know. I don't get it.
I appreciate getting awake. The idea of, like, getting to wake up to, like, the mountains and, like, actual clouds. As opposed. But, no, that's fine. I'll let you have it, everyone else.
I'll
so,
sleep in a cabin and then walk outside. Thank you.
Exactly. So I am. Ooh. What a tough one to try to represent Stephen King's It, the original. It's I don't want to. I mean, this was over 3 hours worth of footage. Okay, this movie is over. Both the miniseries, like both pieces, over 3 hours. I will try not to talk forever because not only most of you probably already know, if you didn't see the original, you just saw the remake. So yeah. like last month, you just saw. Yeah. So you understand how fucking creepy Pennywise is. So I'm not going to go too overboard. I have a lot of notes. I'll try to skim. It, the miniseries released in 1990, was not a movie, but a miniseries made for ABC. So I think in my head, it was always, oh, this is a movie. Nope, it's a miniseries. And in fact, it was actually supposed to be like a 10-hour or 10-part miniseries. And everyone was on board. And then they were like, just bring it down to 3 hours, I guess, which is still a beefy ass show.
Well, and more so importantly, you're not putting that on ABC. Like,
no, like, ABC was like, I don't know if we're that desperate. Like,
this is network television. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah, it's really interesting. I'm glad they didn't do that. Although I don't know, maybe I would have liked to have seen 10 hours of this. But this is, of course, based on Stephen King's novel that was released in 1986 called It. The story, as we all know, is about a predatory monster that has the ability to transform into whatever. Whatever it can in order to exploit the fears of its prey, which is a fucking creepy idea. If you think, like, it's not just like, oh, there's a big rat. It's like, I'm terrified of, like, for a very long time in my life, I was terrified of spiders. What if it were presented as a huge spider? I'd be like, I can't. So that's to get in your brain and be that thing. It's really scary. And then, as you know, he's mostly depicted as Pennywise the clown. That's the form he takes most often. And then this is played by the one, the only, Tim Curry.
Hell yeah.
Tim Curry is so fucking good. So good. And of course, it's set in two parts, 1960 and then 1990 in Derry, Maine. And Georgie, who's, we start the movie by being introduced to Georgie, who's played by Tony Dakota. He's the little brother of the main character, Bill. And it's a rainy day and he wants to go outside, and Bill had made him a little paper boat, sailboat, and it's raining. And of course, we all know it gets carried away by the water into the drain, and voila, we meet Pennywise. And and it's just, that's our first encounter with him, right? And so he says something like, there's cotton candy and I'm not going to do Tim Curry any kind of justice here, but like, there's cotton candy and rides and all sorts of surprises down here, and balloons. You like balloons, don't you, Georgie? And he's, and then of course he's like, do they float? And this is where, it's like, he goes, oh yes, Georgie, they float. And like, you have to watch his mouth when he says they float. It's just, I mean, like, Skarsgård did a great job with the new Pennywise, but you'll never be able to take down Curry. And so he goes, and when you're down here with me, you'll float too. And that's when he grabs him, rips off his arm, and he bleeds out. And that's a wrap on Georgie. Oops.
Thanks, Georgie.
Oops, sweet little guy. Like, that's fucking terrifying as a kid. It's terrifying as a kid.
Let's make this a miniseries.
Sorry. A potential 10-hour miniseries. So Bill is played by I've been wanting to talk about this for so long. Jonathan Brandis. He was my ultimate 90s heartthrob. And he unfortunately committed suicide, I think, in 2003. Oh, no. Which is really sad. It's kind of super sad. But Jonathan Brandis played the main character, Bill, who's, of course, the older brother to Georgie. And then he's got his friends Eddie, Ben, Beverly, Stan, Richie. And then later, Mike joins in. And they call themselves the Losers Club, or the Lucky Seven. And they are all bullied by the same piece of shit kid, Henry Bowers. And they've got a little bit of a gang going on there. And then over the course of the first series that takes place in 1960, when all these kids are children, they start having these encounters with Pennywise. And to me, these were tough. Like Ben was the larger kid, and his encounter with Pennywise is seeing he's out running away from some of the bullies, and he comes, at least I think he was running away. But he was out in the woods, and he comes upon this lake, and he sees what I believe is his father out on the lake. And he's dressed in like military garb, and he's like, "Hey, Ben," and you know, he's like waving at him and talking to him. And then, you know, it cuts to Ben, and every time we cut back to his dad, he's like, you know, got buttons on his shirt that are now, you know, clown buttons, and he's slowly turning into Pennywise. And then by the time, you know, he's fully transformed as Pennywise, and he's laughing at him. And it's so messed up. This is so deeply, like, this is rough stuff. And then this awful grimy skeleton comes out of the lake and tries to grab Ben's foot. Oh, it's the worst. And then Beverly's encounter, if you recall, is she's in her bathroom, the home with her abusive father, and she's in there, and then all of a sudden she can hear voices in the drain, and then a balloon starts inflating.
No, yes.
Yeah, and it's full of blood, and then it pops and just sprays blood everywhere. Eddie's encounter is in the gym shower, where all the shower heads turn on, because he was a bit of a germaphobe.
This one drove me crazy.
The shower head one got you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's kind of terrifying to be in that big empty room. You're already kind of a germaphobe, maybe a never nude or something.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, here come all these piping hot shower heads at you. And then Pennywise the Clown just comes out of the drain, and he's like, "I'm going to kill you. I'm Pennywise." This is weird. This is a weird place for me to be right now.
This ruined locker rooms for me as a child. See?
Oh, did it really?
Uh-huh.
I don't think I ever used a proper locker room like that anyway. But yeah, Pennywise. So Pennywise got you too, huh? Yeah.
Oh, I saw that. I even posted on Twitter recently about this, was that I saw this movie when I was at least part of this movie when I was six, and it ruined me. What world was I living in at six that I was like, yes, let's get this into my brain?
Well, maybe your parents were like, a long movie about clowns? Maybe Andy would really like this. This is great.
It's older. It's my oldest brother watching movies and me just happening to walk down there and being an idiot and being like,
yeah,
I can watch this too.
No, you cannot. You cannot.
I can't.
Yeah, there were. I can't remember all the other encounters with Pennywise, but they're all pretty rough. And then there's the scene, to me, which was probably the most unnerving to me, where the kids are reading up on Derry, and they find this book about Pennywise the Clown, and then the picture starts coming to life. It's this old black and white photo, and all these old, carnival people start walking around, and then all of a sudden you see Pennywise like doing flips and flips and backflipping, and then he climbs up a pole, and then he makes eye contact with the kids, and then he starts like yelling at them and comes out. I wish I could do 3D hands at you right now, but I can't.
You're kind of doing it right now.
A little bit, but it was even in the 1990 film, it scared the hell out of me. And then of course you saw the remake. Mm-hmm. You remember, we don't have to talk about it if someone hasn't seen it, but the shot in the garage, all the kids in the garage in the new remake. Did you not see the first?
I have. I just don't remember every exact moment in the thing.
I feel like you would remember that, because I like jumped out of my seat and started screaming. It was really terrifying. Anyway, them getting a little spook out by Pennywise in person is always. So they eventually realize that he's this clown that comes to Derry every 30 years to feed on children. And then so they decide to go. I'm skipping a lot of stuff, but they decide to go into the sewers to kill it. And so Stan gets ambushed by Henry Bowers, who was the bully that I mentioned earlier. And then the other bullies, like two of them get eaten by it. And then Henry's traumatized. If you remember, his hair turns white. It was this crazy scene. I read in trivia that they used baby powder and a toothbrush to make his hair white. Isn't that cool? I kind of want to do it for Halloween. And so the kids, after all this, they realize they can try to use their imagination to fight it. You know, they realize like, he can, you know, he feeds on this fear. So use your imagination, try to fight him with that. And so Eddie pretends that his inhaler is full of battery acid. He sprays and it starts melting. Oh, and you remember this face of like Tim Curry's face, just all melty and yes. evil. And then Beverly fires a silver ring into its head. And they like, oh, the slow motion of it, just like, it's anyway, I'm going to have another nightmare tonight. And then, yeah, Tim Curry makes one of the scariest faces I have ever seen. And then he just goes down into the sewer drain. And he like grabs one of the kids on the way and he's like, eh, fuck it. And then he goes into the drain. They're like, we killed him. Psych. Fast forward.
Game over. We win.
Fast forward 30 years. He's not dead. The children are adults now and they're learning that new children are being murdered by it. So Mike is still living in Derry and he realizes this is happening again. So he contacts everyone. He's like, get your asses back here. We made a pact that if it ever came back, we're going to come back and deal with this. And so they all come back to Derry to take it down again, except for Stan, who upon hearing the news that it is back, just kills himself. Oops.
Oh.
Yeah.
That 30 years later, he's like, that's all I needed. I'm gone. Bye.
I feel like things were probably pretty bad for you if you were like, this is the thing. But I don't know. If there were a terrorizing like clown back, I'd be like, I'm not doing this again.
I mean, I would definitely dip, but maybe not permanently dip. I'd just be like, you know, I think I'll just take a vacation, go somewhere else.
Stan, no estoy aquí, no hablo español, and then hang up. they'd be like, we can learn, we know Spanish, it's fine. So they're all beginning to be terrorized by Pennywise again, and of course, you remember the scene in the Chinese restaurant. Which even the 1990 version is still like the hermit crab come, like they all cut, these things start coming out of the fortune cookies. I think like one was like a hermit crab or something. The fetus of a baby bird. Oh, and then like the eyeball. It's just, I mean, I don't know. I almost listened to the audiobook of It over the summer because it was like, I think it's like 13 hours or something. It's really intensely long. It's like, I don't have that much free time, but I'm into it. I want to go back and actually... Because if the movie versions are freaking me out this bad, I want Stephen King's original version. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't. I think that'd kill me. But Henry Bowers has been in an asylum, and then with the help from it, he escapes to go murder the group. And so Bower attacks and stabs Mike, and then is killed by Eddie. Eddie kills Bowers, and then the other five... You know, Mike and Eddie are like in the hospital doing their thing because they've been attacked by this guy. And then the other five go into the sewers to confront it. And that's when they find that Bill's wife had come to Derry to kind of, she's like, just to see what was going on. And then she got captured by it and was in a totally catatonic state. And this is where, again, I'm breezing through this, but like it in this scene was presented as a giant spider. And that was hard to take as a kid and all the way up until just a few years ago. Eddie, if you remember when he was a kid, sprayed him with battery acid, you know, quote unquote battery, with his inhaler. It did not work this time. He was mortally wounded by it. That's a wrap on Eddie. It was really, really sad. And then they chase down it. The other kid, you know, Beverly and the rest of the team chase down it and then realize they rip out his heart and they actually kill him this time. And that's the brief and dirty summary of it. But I feel like I don't have to go too long because, again, we all just saw it. And if you didn't, go see it. And if you didn't, I just told you what happens, even in the new one. But Skarsgård did a most excellent job as Pennywise. However, Tim Curry will always be.
The original one was so much more terrifying. And, I mean, again, it's always one of those things that's unfair to say that when you're an adult watching it and you saw the other one as a kid.
Yeah.
But it's just there's something so much more disturbing about the real human one versus this weird animatronic, or not animatronic, but like CGI horseshit one.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of CG in the new one, and I would say that the new one relied a lot on like jump scares. And in the original, there were certainly some jump scares here and there, but it was mostly just like, this is unnerving. This is at my core.
Yeah,
scary.
The sheer terror of the whole situation. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, in its lair and this like. I don't even call it ravine. I don't know. It's some kind of, not aqueduct, but something like, wherever he is, wherever all this is, it's a super unnerving place. And it's just, it gets at you to the point where even after having watched the new ones, the old one gave me a nightmare.
Oh, for sure.
And so it's just, it is good. And I feel like Blair Witch is unnerving in its own way in that it's all super tense. This one is just, this is getting at your fears and exposing them and exploiting them and then just being terrorized. And it's even worse because it's going after kids, you know? Yeah. That's hard.
I mean, this one's one. This one is a way more straightforward, like, hey, this is just pure fucking nightmare fuel injected straight into your brain. Like, Blair Witch is just kind of one of those ones. Like I said, I don't think it stands the test of time as well. Like, in the sense that, like, it's not one of those things that you watching it three times and, like, you're still scared the third time.
Yeah. Like, and you're like, okay.
Okay, but, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, but Tim Curry is always unnerving. Again, I would say each of you should just YouTube the original Pennywise and Georgie scene, because if you can just watch Tim Curry talking it's not good. It ain't right, children. Stay away from the sewers.
I swear. Tim Curry has way too many interactions with children in his movies.
It's true. Maybe. The only interesting, I looked up a lot of trivia to see if I could find any one-off notes about this that were like, oh, I would have never. There wasn't a whole lot that was really, truly interesting about this, other than I think some of the children actors in the original didn't realize that when there was so much time to burn that Tim Curry was like, he would just come out in makeup and just start like entertaining and doing stuff, and they'd be like, oh, they hired a clown to entertain us. So I was like, no, bitch.
Oh, really?
That's Pennywise, and he's gonna kill you.
Oh, that's the nightmare horror show that's gonna be killing us later.
Yeah, that's you. Yeah. What was the other thing? I think there was just a note that Tim Curry only had like 20 minutes or less of film time in the whole movie.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't think Skarsgård got much more. Yeah.
I was gonna say, actually, like in the new ones that I was watching, I was like, I was alarmed by how little time that it was actually a part of it. But I think that's the thing, is when he comes, because it's one of those things where it's like, logically, like, it could just kill these kids instantly if he wanted to. There's no reason why he has to be so cat and mouse playful about the whole thing. Like, he could just come in and just kill them instantly with the powers he has and everything, but he just waits until, like, just kind of plays with them multiple times and puts them in these situations that are, like, it's more, but it makes for a better movie, obviously. So you just don't see him that often because he's just kind of like, and a lot of his stuff isn't even him. It'll just be like, like you said, like a balloon coming out of there or whatever.
Just something to taunt you. Yeah. And I think even to that note, that if there were something that scary just always around, like if you came into the living room, like, okay, there's Pennywise again. You go in the bathroom, there he is again. Like, it just gets old. But if he's just, oh, I'm here now, bitch. That's, that's kind of scary. So
it's, you keep the heart wanting more Pennywise. the heart wants
more Pennywise. 90s court.
90s court.
The heart wants more Pennywise. Oh gosh. Well, that's my court case on it. And on it, these are both really good movies. So I am interested to see how the polls turn out.
Absolutely. So, anyways, we're going to take a break this week. We don't have any more promos, so it should be a shorter break, and we'll be back with a little bit more spooktacular fun. I'm never going to say that again.
Lady of the Night.
Being spooky. Lady of the Night and
the co-ghost. Yeah.
We're the least haunting human beings in the world. So
it's true. Anyway, right. Well, we'll be back after the break.
All right. BRB.
All right. We're back. Andy's so spooky.
It's a cold.
Two way spooky.
Standy. I said ooh, it's your co-ghost Andy.
Oh, I thought you said Chicago standing.
Chicago standing.
It didn't make any damn sense. Anyway, I'm feeling ultra spooked out after the first half of this episode.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for enjoying those fun delicacies of films. So we're back from the break, which means, as always, we got some polls for you to determine how the jury found our two court cases from last week. So to continue the raging blood streak that I've got going right now, I feel bad. Like, I think this should be a good week for Lisa for next week.
If it's not, I'm gonna drop out of here.
So, Nightmare Before Christmas versus Edward Scissorhands.
What was the damage?
So here's the thing. So Facebook, it wasn't great. 61% Nightmare Before Christmas to 39% Edward Scissorhands. So over the 60% mark, so it's not good by any means.
Rude.
Not to be outdone.
Oh, geez. What was Twitter?
Twitter came out a full 2/3 to 1/3. 67% Nightmare to 33% Edward Scissorhands. I feel like there's like a few, there's like a younger crowd on Twitter than there is on Facebook. So there's a lot of people who just literally haven't seen Edward Scissorhands because they're like, I was zero when that came out, or I was negative five.
1 year. Yeah.
So
yeah, I was not yet born yet.
So yeah, unfortunately for Lisa, the losing streak continues. it's been a real nightmare lately. I think the last push / win was Lisa Frank. I think that was even a push, but like that was episode 9.
You know
what?
Okay, here's the thing. Our friend from Coffin Cast was like setting up wagers to get to, you know, 1,000 listens and you got a tattoo. It's like, maybe it's like, if I can win a damn court case, maybe I'll like, oh no, flash everyone on video or something. Like, I need a like, I need to win you guys.
Okay.
This is getting old.
Well, I don't know how I feel.
I'm not going to do that.
I don't know how I feel about just
I'm not gonna
the
do
boober.
That. Maybe boobers. I'll like, no, no one needs that. I don't need that. No one
Nobody
deserves
needs
that.
Boobs.
No, maybe like if I get a win, maybe I'll just like be happy for once.
Just like you can finally make Lisa happy.
Yeah.
So, and again, whatever. I will reiterate that early on it was a bloodbath in the other direction, which was that I was just picking things that apparently just everybody hated. So
you win some and then you lose a tremendous amount.
Yes.
That's how it goes.
Law of averages and such.
Yeah. Well, I had an idea for our Halloween episode, our first Halloween episode. And so the first half of this episode was kind of rough, right? Mm-hmm. Some super spooky stuff. I was like, why don't we lighten the mood and talk about one of the most iconic things from the 90s, especially this time of year, which would be The Simpsons Treehouse of Horrors. All right. And so I was, see, he's got it. Mine's like, ha 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 ha. Like, I realized recently that I like trying the Scooby laugh, which is like, and it makes me laugh every time. So maybe that's more my spooky.
Just
my spooky
your
laugh because it's
Scooby
unnerving.
Spooks.
I laugh every time at my own
stupid
Scooby
thing.
Laugh. I'm so sorry. Anyway, I'm sorry. Okay, so I thought it would be fun for Andy and I to maybe take turns of our two like favorite Treehouse of Horrors from the 90s, right? So I can present one, you can present one, or maybe we can just do both at a time. I don't really care.
Sure.
I'll do. Yeah, we'll just do both at a time. I will give mine real quick. Mine, the one that stuck with me the worst, that made
the worst.
Yeah, because it really, like, this was a favorite one of mine, but it also unnerved me a lot as a kid, and it still kind of does to this day. And it was on Treehouse of Horrors 4, and it was called Terror at 5.5 Feet, and that was the school bus episode.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, and so it kind of opens on Bart having a nightmare about his, like, death on a school bus, and it's very Simpson-y, the whole thing. They're just so, like, I laughed really hard rewatching this episode, because the old Simpsons, they had, like, beat after beat of funny jokes. On the way to school, you know, Bart's super anxious and he, you know, notices a small gremlin on the outside of the bus. And so, and this is a funny thing that made me laugh, was like, he said, hey, Otto, there's a gremlin on, you know, on the side of the bus.
Oh, yeah.
And Otto looks over and it's Hans Moleman driving his gremlin, and he just like runs him off the road, and he's like, I just made the last payment on this. Oh, and then it like touches a tree and explodes.
Yeah, no, it was great because stops just in time and you're like, oh, phew, and then it explodes for no reason.
It's just, of course. And then so Skinner is like, I hear kids using his imagination. I'm here to put an end to that. And so he ties him down next to the foreign exchange student.
Y'all.
And then he gets him to untie him eventually. And then he decides that he's going to take matters into his own hands. This gremlin is like taking all the nuts and bolts out of the tire. And so he goes and gets some flares, but the flares are in Martin's shorts. And so they all fall. He grabs one, the other one falls out. Yeah. Martin's short. And then he puts one of the flares back in Martin's short, which made me laugh really hard. But he throws a flare down at the gremlin, and then Flanders, who's driving, hits it with his car. And then he's like, oh, you little demon of God or whatever. And And so at the end, Bart's being carried away to an asylum in like an ambulance, or not an ambulance, an asylum cart. I don't know. And he's like, I'm feeling relieved. He got away from the gremlin. But this is what messed me up, because the gremlin knocks on the back of the window and holds up the severed head of Ned Flanders. And but you got the spine and some like veins. And I was like, it's not right. Yeah. At any rate, it still makes my butt upset at this age. Yes, makes my butt pucker. And my second,
on that one, because here's the thing. So I, of course, like, I don't have a great recollection of every episode. So like, I rented a couple, I bought a couple episodes of that.
Yeah.
And so one of them was that, because one of the episodes I'm going to do is from that same, one of the things, shorts, is from that same episode.
Okay.
And that one, it was funny that like at the end, it's like, there's clear evidence, like the bus was clearly just destroyed by this gremlin. Like everybody sees, looks, he's like, see, I told you, look at this. And they're still like, yeah. And as thanks for that, you're going to spend the rest of your life
in an asylum. He's like, we're trying to save all these kids.
He was right. And he did it. But anyways, continue.
Yeah. My second favorite one, which brings a line that I quote all the time, Treehouse of Horrors 6, Roman numeral V1. Attack of the 50-foot eyesores. And if you recall, this is the episode where all the big statues that belong to stores, like mascots, come to life. And it's all because Homer goes to Lard Lad Donuts and he wants the colossal donut. Yeah. And they give him just a regular ass donut, and he gets pissed. And so he wants revenge on them. So he goes and gets lassos the and takes the giant donut home. Mm. Yeah. And then there's some kind of like disturbance in the atmosphere, and lightning strikes Lard Lad. And he's like, I'm getting my donut back. Mm-hmm. And then all the other guys come to life too. And it's like the Zip Boys, you know, a mock on Pet Boys. Mm-hmm. So it's got the three big headed dudes. The Duff guy from a neon sign comes out and squishes everyone with his bottle. Yeah. Duff man can't breathe. Oh no. Ooh. And then my favorite is there was like, I don't know, some kind of car wash where it was like a genie's hat or something, just like a little beret. And as all these things are destroying the city, the hat is just like shaking on the side of a building like it's eating it. It's just the most absurd shit I've ever seen. It makes me laugh really hard, as you can tell. But the way that Lisa discovers to beat them is like calls the ad agency that created them. And he's like, well, it's advertising and none of this works if you don't look at it. So just don't look at them. So sometimes when my kids are acting like shit, I just look at my husband and be like, just don't look. It's like, just let it go. Like, don't give it any power, right? Because that's the same concept in parenting as it is to handling these giant 50 foot.
Your children are like monsters destroying the city.
My children are like 50 foot monsters destroying my house. Yeah. Those are my two favorite Treehouse of Horror episodes. Nice. In a nutshell.
Yeah, no, I like that. And one. Yours were. I love you know, remembering some of those characters, because like I said, I don't watch nearly as much as you do, but watching again, like I said, I just renting these and buying them again, and you know, watching some episodes, I'm like, man, this is such a good show, like just such a good show in general. So
early 90s Simpsons was on point.
So, but no, like this season four, this episode four that you chose from, I liked all three of these like a lot. So you did the one that like I wouldn't even thought to do, which is weird because it was a really good episode. Like there was also the Bart Simpson's Dracula on that one, which is the one where they go to Mr. Burns' house, and there's a whole series of things that happen there. I even told her, this is not the episode I'm going to do, but I messaged Lisa when I was watching this one, because just like, I guess Bart like ends up dooming himself for some reason. Like him and Lisa are running away from Mr. Burns and all these vampires in the basement. And then, like, he gets he's almost to the top of the stairs, like, escaping, and then he sees this thing, this, like, lever that says, like, pull to turn into crazy slide, and he's like, well, I'm never going to be here again, and he just pulls it and then slides back down, and then so, of course, he gets bit, and he turns into a vampire, and the family realizes, he's like, oh my god, he's a vampire, and so then Grandpa Simpson runs in the room, and with a spike and a hammer, and just says, he's, like, we gotta kill him. And they're like, wait, Grandpa, how did you know he was a vampire? He's like, he's a vampire? And then runs out the room.
Bits from that were so good. Yeah.
But no, the one I was going to do here first and foremost was The Devil and Homer Simpson. And again, I can't say these are my favorite 100% because I just could not bring all of them into my consciousness right away. So I grabbed a few, and these were some ones that stuck out to me. So this was just hilarious. There was just so many good jokes over and over again in this one. So it starts out, Homer's at work, and like immediately, like he pulls up the, like, opens this box of donuts, and there's nothing left inside, and like and Lenny and Carl are both like, yeah, we each took all the donuts, and then they were like, I mean, there was some left over, but we threw them at some old guy, and then they just showed somebody getting chased by birds out on the lawn. And so Homer is just so hungry, he even goes to his emergency place and can't find his emergency donut, just a note that said, like, you know, I owe you one donut or something like that. And then he just says the words, like, I'd give my soul for a donut. And suddenly the devil, who is Ned Flanders, appears and and has a contract basically to seal the deal. And like Ned keeps being like, now I'll have to warn you. And Homer's like, just give me the damn paper. Like, he's just like, doesn't care. He's like, just let me do it. And so he signs the contract. And then as he's eating it, he eats all but like one little piece of it. And he's like, well, if I don't eat this last little piece, like, you don't get my soul then, right? And he's like, well, technically. And he's like, ha ha, sucker. And then, you know, doesn't eat the last piece of the donut. But that doesn't last very long because that very night, he sets this last piece of donut on a plate with all these sticky notes on it that says, like, do not eat daddy's soul, please. Like, don't. And he apparently, in a very late night, almost slumber, like, walks down to the fridge and just grabs it and eats it. And then, of course, Devil Flanders shows up. And he's like, well, you're screwed now. And then he's getting ready to take him to hell. And they all come and say, no, wait, you can't take him to hell. Like, we got to have a court or whatever case about this. And so they're like, all right, fine. So he's like, but for now, he's going to be going to hell. One of the things was Homer. Like, they're like this, like, horrible irony room or whatever is like one of the torture rooms. And so he goes in there, and it's just this place where he's like, oh, I hear you like donuts. We're going to make you eat every donut in the world. And he's just sitting there just eating donut after donut and does not grow tired of it the entire time. And the torturing guy is like, this is not supposed to be like this. This is supposed to. He's like, the other guy went crazy in 15 minutes. Basically, he eats all the donuts in the world. So they have a court case. They have a bunch of jury made of like all of these people from hell.
Was Lizzie Borden?
I don't.
I want to say she was.
I couldn't tell you. I know. For some reason, at this time, I know Richard Nixon was one of them. And I remember he's like, I'm not even dead yet. He's like, I just wrote an article for so and so. Like, I don't remember. So they hold the trial, and like, the fact is, there's not really a trial to be held. It's like, hey, you signed the contract, and like said, like, yeah, this is so. The person who was supposed to be his lawyer, like, said, I need a bathroom break. And he goes to the bathroom, and they come out, and he's just, like, crawled out the window. So the judge is about to lay down his verdict when suddenly Marge comes in with a picture from, I guess, the, like, emergency room. And they're like, yeah, this is where we set our vows, was in the emergency room, because Homer ate the entire piece of cake, or the entire cake for the wedding. And they're like, oh, that's really sweet, but that has nothing to do with this. And she's like, no, read the back. And then the back was like, you know, like, essentially, like, I give my soul to you, Marge Simpson, or whatever. And so then the jury's like, well, unfortunately, he didn't have that soul to give because his soul belongs to Marge Simpson. Case closed. And so Homer is saved. A lot of great jokes.
Always something to do with court.
Yeah, exactly.
Always something to do with court. Yeah.
Glad we could bring that into full circle here. So that was a really great episode. Did you have any memories of that one, or
I just distinctly remember the like conveyor belt of donuts and being fat little girl being like, yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. The other one I wanted to do, because I love references that are like timely references that are just like so wacky and out of control now. So this one was called Citizen Kang. K-A-N-G.
Yeah.
This is when there's Kang and Kodos, who are the two aliens that are frequent appearances. They're the big, like, terrifying monsters that show up. And so Homer's abducted by the two aliens, right off the bat. And they're like, hey, you got to tell us where your leader is. And he's like, well, I mean, I guess that'd be Clinton. You know, or he's like, it could be the other guy. What's his name? The other guy he's running against. And he's like, oh, Bob Dole. So a hot Bob Dole reference with Bob Dole prominently featured in this episode. So,
oh my gosh.
So basically Kang and Kodos kidnap both Bob Dole and Bill Clinton. And they have them stuck in these suspended animation tubes. And then Homer's like, well, what's going to happen to me?
Right.
And they're like, oh, we'll deal with you. And then they just, this huge gun pulls down and then just blasts him with this green, brownish fluid. And he's like, what's that? And you're like, that's rum. Now no one will believe you. And then they kick him back to Earth, but he's soaked in rum. So everybody's like, oh, you smell like booze. So this whole thing is Homer trying to explain to people, like, these aliens have taken over Bob Dole and Bill Clinton. Like, this is clearly, like, and it's so obvious, too, because they don't have the same voices, like, at all. They're just, like, it's funny, though. It's kind of like a commentary on politics in general is, like, oh, we don't actually have to say anything at all. Like, all they want to hear is just us saying, like, things don't go forward, left or right. We go upward. We go upward and around, like America is. And everybody's like, yeah. Like... And so it's just this back and forth between them. And Homer, in the meantime, stumbles on the badly hidden spaceship, gets in there, and he's like, he undoes the fluid thing for Bob Dole and Bill Clinton. He's like, okay. So they're like plotting, like, good, I'm going to rescue you guys, and we're going to get you in there, and you're going to have to figure out a way to defeat both of them. As long as we all work together, it should be fine. And they're like, but you got to get us out of this, out of the spaceship. And then he, like, goes to look to find what to do, and he pushes this button, and it just ejects them into space, and they die. so he kills Bill Clinton and Bob Dole. So Homer ends up coming down and rips off their faces, like, on the day before the election, and they're like, yes, you've discovered that we're aliens, but what are you gonna do? It's a two-party system. And Ross Perot's out in the crowd, and he, like, busts his hat over his kneecap because he's pissed, because he's like, damn it. And so, of course, like, in spite of the fact that everybody knows they're horrifying aliens that are there to enslave Earth, they still vote Krang in as as the king. And then the end of it's all of them being enslaved. And there's the joke by Homer, like, where they're like, man, like, this is the worst. And Homer's like, don't look at me. He's like, I voted for Kodos.
Such good
I don't know
stuff.
It was just funny too, because I love old-timey references to things that I've not thought about, like Bob Dole it's so long. So
yeah, dip back into early 90s cartoons.
Yeah,
especially The Simpsons, you'll get some old refs you forgot about. It's
Bob
gonna be good.
Dole. Like also like All That, the show All That, there's also, like, there's frequent Ross Perot references in that, and I'm just like, Ross like, not even like a third party candidate in an election that he didn't win, and there's so many episodes featuring freaking Ross Perot. So so yeah, that's the end of my Treehouse of Horror.
It's pretty.
I am not looking forward to hearing the audio files of me singing in this episode, because they have to be so bad.
It is a spooky episode. You're getting the spooks. From whichever direction they come. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm glad we got to revisit, a more lighthearted Halloween thing for this week after a really
very dark, heavy front end. But
I want to see people. I want to see our fans. Halloween. I'm excited to see Halloween costumes for people.
Yeah.
This week.
Show them to us. Lisa, you want to close us out?
For sure. You know that you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court, Instagram at 90s.court. We have an email address if you ever want to talk to us.
There's no chat.
Yeah, the only way is 90scourt@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. If you could, for a very special Halloween present to us, give us, a 5-star review,
please,
on Apple Podcasts. That would be amazing.
Yes.
Or if you happen to listen to the episodes anywhere else, like Stitcher, Breaker, anything else like those, every now and again, something like that will pop up. You get a little heart shows up, so it's enjoyable. But keep it going, guys. We're going to wrap up the Halloween episode and move back to just regular 90s nostalgia next week. So
we've also done quite a few movies in a row, so I think we're looking forward to doing something a little bit different
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah, something a little easier. Not having to watch so many movies during the week would be a nice break, actually.
Yeah, so. But yeah, so, and as she mentioned, you know, the we'll probably be having, I think I'm going to be having a raffle slash like a giveaway coming up soon, like a contest involving five-star reviews and everything like that. So whether you leave them now, if you've already left them, or if you leave them in the future, they'll all apply to this contest where I have some really cool 90s swag that we'll be giving anybody who submits and sends in those things to us. We'll have details to come, but just wanted to give you all a teaser on that, as that will be coming up here very soon. And you guys are going to love the stuff that I got, because I am a huge nerd and I'm excited about it.
So, he is good at the stuff. Yes. So awesome. Well, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Jurors? I don't know what we call our fans.
Yeah.
We'll figure judge, something out.
Happy Halloween, judge, jury, and executioners.
Yep. So. All right. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Adios. Bye.